A show of hands, please. How many of you have had a teacher at any stage of your education, from the first grade until this day in May, who made you happier to be alive, prouder to be alive, than you had previously believed possible? Good. Now say the name of that teacher to someone sitting or standing near you. All done? Thank you. And drive home safely, and God bless you all. That's a baccalaureate address given by none other than Kurt Vonnegut, collected in If This Isn't Nice, What Is?, the much expanded second edition, collected and introduced by Dan Wakefield. If This Isn't Nice, What is classic Kurt Vonnegut. It's thoughtful beyond the sentences read. It's quirky and often smart-alecky with its humor. Big thoughts are the menu of the day, or speech, if you will. If This Isn't Nice is a collection of graduation speeches delivered by Kurt Vonnegut and collected here by his friend and fellow humorist Dan Wakefield, best known for his novel-turned-movie Going All the Way and for his work in the TV series James at 15. If you remember that TV series, raise your hand. Mr. Wakefield wrote and continues to write much more, of course. Check out his blog and website for more. It's actually quite an interesting place to go to. Anyway, back to the book. These are speeches we probably would have liked at our graduations. Though I remember my college graduation speaker with fondness, graduation speeches are more for parents and friends than for the actual graduates, I think. And indeed, that's why I thought this would be a good book to share at the beginning of a new college and high school year, when you're actually maybe listening to what's going on and not kind of wishing that the speaker, would finish up so you can get out of there. Indeed, the graduation speech that I read by Vonnegut is, while it is the shortest one in the book, is certainly still one packed with ideas, if you were listening. And so it is refreshing to have the opportunity to read these words from Kurt Vonnegut speaking to graduates and, of course, others of life lessons learned and life lessons shared long after my personal graduation ceremony. We didn't have Kurt Vonnegut somewhere in the middle 1970s. As he notes, rather often, if you read one speech after another, and this is the kind of book where you just keep turning the pages because you want to see and read what he's going to say next. Vonnegut was and came from a long number of generations who prided themselves on being quote-unquote free thinkers. Vonnegut speaks often of the respect he has for the Christian Jesus, but he's not willing to tie himself or his listeners to one particular belief system. Thus, when he speaks of the greatest moments of human insight, it is both surprising and oddly comforting to many in his audience, no doubt, that he focuses on the words of one of his self-acknowledged greatest human beings, Jesus, who is recorded in the New Testament with words that stress forgiveness and that focus on peace. I'm speaking, of course, of the Sermon on the Mount. As Vonnegut puts it, I'm enchanted by the Sermon on the Mount. Being merciful, it seems to me, is the only good idea we have received so far. Perhaps we will get another good idea by and by, and then we will have two good ideas. Well, frequently, Vonnegut returns to exhortations for the graduates to join into their communities after they leave their college years. Marriage is fine, yes, but he urges them and us to even more launch ourselves into the many local civic groups, local craft groups. Indeed, join a group with any kind of human beings that will bring us out of our isolation and our loneliness. Even the Hell's Angels are an option, he suggests, more than once in these pages. Why? Because it is our involvement in community groups, he argues, that will give us our justification for life. When we look back for our hoped-for old age, surrounded by our children, our families, our friends, it's a version of Bloom Where You Are Planted that focuses on Vonnegut's gut instinct, given words, that we're not all going to end up in New York or Paris or Indianapolis or Adelaide, Australia. Many of us, probably most of us, will remain or even move into smaller towns and burgs to live the rest of our lives. It matters not where we end up, Vonnegut tells us. It matters, it is just as important, perhaps even more so, that we attain, in the words of humorist Mark Twain, quote, the good opinion of our neighbors, end quote. For to Vonnegut, this, the good opinion of our neighbors, is so much more important than the fame of those few who gain riches beyond all measure. And what of the running theme of this book? What of education with a capital E? Well, Vonnegut tells us again and again, tells the graduates again and again, that he is so proud of each and every person to whom he speaks for their having become educated, gone to college. The pursuit of a college degree, he often says, is what gives hope for the continuation of humankind. As he writes, thanks and God bless those who made it possible for you to improve your minds and souls in the company of students from every part of this country and foreign nations besides. What fun, eh, I should say. Most of you are preparing to enter fields unattractive to greedy persons, such as education and the healing arts. Teaching, may I say, is the noblest profession of all in a democracy. Some of you will become mothers. If that should fall to your lot, you may find compensation in the words by the poet William Ross Wallace, quote, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, end quote. And keep that kid the heck away from computers and TV sets unless you want it to become a lonesome imbecile who steals money from your purse so it can buy stuff. Don't give up on books. They feel so good, their friendly heft, the sweet reluctance of their pages when you turn them with your sensitive fingertips. A large part of our brains is devoted to deciding what our hands are touching, whether that is good or bad for us. Any brain worth a nickel knows books are good for us. And don't try to make yourself an extended family out of ghosts on the internet. Get yourself a Harley and join the Hell's Angels instead. Unless we get too caught up in college degrees, I'm going to posit that Kurt Vonnegut may well have been just as proud of those who pursued any post-high school degree in this modern age. His obvious love for reading and books, as we just heard, and his continued pursuit of one's unique interests through those community groups he so lauds, leads me to the conclusion that whether you've achieved a four-year college degree or a post-high school certification, Vonnegut has something in mind to share with you. It's often, too, that Vonnegut praises teachers, just heard that, even more than the parents, the uncles, the aunts, who are most likely to be listening to these speeches. It is for teachers that Vonnegut often calls out special recognition by the graduating students. I think it's impressive and indicative of Kurt Vonnegut's continuing popularity among readers that these graduation speeches cross a number of years and a number of places, running from 1971 all the way through 2014. And let's note the wide sweep of topics he touches upon in these speeches to young graduates, too. This is the classic work of Kurt Vonnegut, if you've read one or more of his novels. He rails against the ongoing corruption of the rich, of the powerful, of the corporations, and of our politicians. Vonnegut inveighs against the future of modern merchandising on TV and the internet that seeks only to separate all of us from our hard-earned money. And as a former ad man, I suggest we give Kurt his due here. But then on the upside, there is his belief in the power of music to heal and excite us. And in a speech he gave to the American Civil Liberties Union, which is not a graduation speech but is included nonetheless, Vonnegut speaks of his trust in the Bill of Rights, in all 10 of the Bill of Rights. Let's note that while Vonnegut gained fame as a novelist after leaving the Hoosier State, first through his infantry years in the U.S. Army's Normandy invasion and his months as a prisoner of war in bombed-out Dresden in Germany, then as a speechwriter and, most importantly, novelist who frequented New York City and other environs, Vonnegut never strays too far from noting his Hoosier roots in these talks. Let's finish with that odd and glorious title to this book. If this isn't nice, what is? It's so Vonnegut in its sweetness and its oddball humor. Kurt Vonnegut was making a serious point with that question, a point he makes in nearly every speech in this collection, albeit rarely with that particular phrase. So let's allow this great man of letters to fill us in on the whys and the wherefores of that particular phrase. He writes, every graduation pep talk I've ever given has ended with words about my father's kid brother, Alex Vonnegut, a Harvard-educated insurance agent in Indianapolis who was well-read and wise. The first graduation at which I spoke, incidentally, was at what was then a women's college, Bennington, in Vermont. The Vietnam War was going on and the graduates wore no makeup to show how ashamed and sad they were. But about my Uncle Alex, who is up in heaven now, one of the things he found objectionable about human beings was that they so rarely noticed it when they were happy. He himself did his best to acknowledge it when times were sweet. We could be drinking lemonade in the shade of an apple tree in the summertime, and Uncle Alex would interrupt the conversation to say, "If this isn't nice, what is?" So I hope you will do the same for the rest of your lives. When things are going sweetly and peacefully, please pause a moment and then say out loud, "If this isn't nice, what is?" What a great collection of speeches for any time of year by Kurt Vonnegut, selected, introduced by his friend Dan Wakefield. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.